Okay. Hey Google, what time is it?
It's 6:52 a.m.
Hey Google, what's today's date?
It's Wednesday, May 1st, 2024.
Okay. So I did a podcast late last night. Live. I did one live. But when I went to go replay it, it didn't play, which once again is not really a big deal because often when I record on multiple recorders because that's happened to me many times. Like sometimes I really refuse to record if I only have one recorder because honestly, truly, I think some of my devices are hacked. For the very reason that I was live. I was literally live. And then when you're like live on Podbean, once it's done, the live playback, they give you an option to publish it like to your main podcast. And so it's there. It says how long it is. It says it's X amount of minutes. Like, but then when you go to replay it, it just doesn't play. Which I'm using their app, so make it make sense. I don't even know. So I can choose to leave it as a draft, or I can choose to publish it to my main podcast. And so since I'm using their app to go live, and it's telling me that it's there, it's telling me how long it is, it's matching my other recorders. But when I play it from their app to just listen to it, make sure I want to publish it, it doesn't play. That happened before on one of my other podcasts. I published it too because I didn't even replay it to listen. I just published it. And then later on, I went to my own website from a different device, not logged in, to just play the recording and realized that it wasn't playing. It played like the first 4 minutes and then it just stopped. So then I wasn't mad. I didn't care. I just was like, because I have it backed up on other recorders. So I was just like, okay, I'll republish it. But then I decided since it didn't play, I'm going to just republish it on my Apple podcast for subscriber only, which I'm trying to decide if I want to do that for this one or not, is just republish it on my Apple podcast under subscriber only. Because yesterday it was really raw and authentic, but I listened to it again on another recorder just to make sure that it recorded everything I said, and it did. I mean, it was like, it was in real time. It was raw. It was honest. It's truly how I feel. I don't regret anything I said. It just wasn't cool and collective, you know, it wasn't cool and collective and in control. It was just raw, authentic, and just simply how I felt. But something else happened that I didn't talk about in that podcast, and it's making me start to really think about why or what someone is doing to me. So yesterday I had to reset my FAFSA passcode, which I've done many times over many years. Like I have a bachelor's and master's and I was in a PhD program at Walden and my daughter is in school. So I'm constantly, you know, on the student aid site doing a FAFSA either for myself or my daughter. However, my daughter is a procrastinator. She kept telling me that we were going to sit down together, even though last time I did it for her by myself, but I still needed her to sign her FAFSA. And then even when she signed it, there were some kickbacks, like we got kickbacks. And so it seemed to me better that we just sit together. Like I'll do my part. And then when I'm done, you sign your part, you know, like whatever. But she waited, procrastinated, and that's fine. But she calls me, like, at the end of the day. Like, I had just came back from Chipotle. It was like literally 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And I had already cried earlier. And then I was getting attacked all day by the biotech, which, someone keeps targeting my head. But the thing, ne that's neither here or there about all of that. The thing that was most concerning to me is that I had in my podcast that I actually published to my podcast site, I had said, that if anyone donates to me, anyone reads my book, like I basically said, anyone that reads my book, please send me an email. I want to hear your feedback. If you read my book, if What's the Matter, the Psychology of Feeling in the Era of AI, which is exclusively available on Amazon. I even said in a previous recording that when I first published my book, from January 6th to January 11th, it looked like people were reading it, like in all like eight different countries. And I started to get little royalties that started to like increase, and then it just suddenly stopped. So it made me feel like it was possible that Amazon or somebody was trying to block and censor my truth about the biotech that's in my body, which is illegal because it's like you got me living 300% below poverty with biotech in my body. I have high debt everywhere, and then I write a book that could potentially get me the money and resources that I need to live better than this, to have a nice kitchen, a nice bathroom, to have all my bills paid. The only thing that you ever put care into was the biotech that you snuck in my body. You didn't put any care into how I live, my front lawn, my kitchen, my roof, my bathroom, my bills, my debt. Nothing else has received the care, the money, or the resources to look and live what I call decently. I feel like the people that have done this to me have tried to make me ridiculous by one, sneaking a biotech in my body and using it on me the way that they've used it on me, and then ignoring me when I file complaints, and then also trying to humiliate me with poverty. I feel like it makes you less credible. Like if you don't have any status or stature, if you're not doing anything that makes you look successful, anything, then it kind of allows people to say, she doesn't have the biotech in her body. She's not worth, defending, protecting, or, all of those things. It makes you like a nuisance. And I feel like that was the whole point of why they did this to me in the first place. Like the fact that it was snuck in my body, the fact that they snuck it in my body and then they used it on me the way that they used it on me, and then the way that I'm living, it doesn't make any sense. So But the whole thing is, I didn't sit around and feel sorry for myself. I've done a whole lot of things, even with this biotech in my body, things that I could do on my own that I didn't really, since I saw that I wasn't going to really get any help or support and anything that I wanted to do. And that's not really true. Like some things I have had help and support in, like from people. So I don't want to say that that's fully true, but I do want to say it never was to the point where I could get out of here and live better. You know what I'm trying to say? Like live better, like live in a nice house, have all my bills paid, just all of those things. It was never, I was always being offered things that were like subjugating and subjecting me and subjugating me in a way that I feel like was more like being a second-class citizen. Because I always said some of the jobs that I worked before I had this biotech in my body, I always say I could have did that without the biotech. Like I feel like I carry an extra burden with biotech in my body. But even still, I still said, not feeling sorry for myself, I still attempted and tried to do things that I felt were not really appropriate for me at this point. And even then, I did a podcast recently about those things that I did do, that I love to do, that I did before, and someone was hurting me, trying to interfere in my efforts to move forward by using a biotech on me in a way that was counterproductive, that made it even harder for me to even move forward. You know what I mean? I'm kind of saying too much. Let me get to my point of why I'm saying all of this. So the thing that was concerning, knowing that I asked people to email me if they read my manuscript, because one, I would know if they say, I have a Kindle membership and I read it and this is what I think, or I have a Kindle membership and I couldn't read it. You know, it wouldn't allow me to read it. You know, like, I want to know, like, what people think, you know. So, and then I also said that if you listen to my podcast, you can donate, right? So with me saying all of that, I had to reset my FAFSA passcode last night, and it kept telling me it was sending me an email, right? And this has never happened before. It kept telling me it was sending me an email, right? And I was waiting on my phone for the email, never received it. Then I went to my Chrome, and my Chromebook, and I never received it. Then I went to my email is on several devices. So I went to like three different devices, two, like my iPhone, my Android, and then my Chromebook. Did not receive it. So then I requested it again, waited some more, then I didn't receive it. So then I called my daughter and I said, listen, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do anything at this point, because it keeps telling me that it's sending me an email to reset the passcode, but I'm not getting anything, you know. And then all of a sudden, while I'm talking to her on the phone, I start to get the emails on top of each other, like three or four emails. But also, all during that time, from the time that my daughter called me, from the time that I decided, okay, because at first I was like, it's late, I don't feel like dealing with it. But then I was like, if she's telling the truth, I need to deal with this. Like, this is not, you know. So I started reading on more things, because they had sent something before with a specific date, but then they changed the date. And then I heard something on the news. I actually heard something on the news recently that they had extended all the deadlines because they had some issues with the free application for federal student aid. Like, there was some botched issues where now everything has been extended. So, and I guess because my daughter goes to a trade school, her deadline is different than everybody else's. So, like, students that go to school in students that go to school in August for 2024-2025 academic school year, they have a different deadline than someone that goes to school in the summer for trade school. So I knew that her deadline was different, but I had been calling my daughter for weeks, like saying, listen, you know, we're going to do this together. Because last time when I did it by myself, I still needed her to complete the whole thing. For some reason, we still had to be together to get it finalized, because it had kicked back and then she had to go up there and do something and she came back downstairs and then I had to sign it and she signed it. So I said, instead of, you know, me doing it and then waiting for you to do what you got to do, just for you to have to come in my face and ask me questions about whatever, then we could just sit. Let's just sit and do it together, because it only takes a few minutes. And we're both sitting here. Whatever the issues are can be addressed, you know, because you still have to, even if the parent prepares it, both the student and the parent have to sign it. And the student is still asked questions. So I just felt like it'd just be better just to get it done together. She procrastinated. But nevertheless, the thing that concerned me the most was I didn't get the reset passcode. And it felt like someone was withholding my emails, or maybe only giving, because as soon as I call first of all, there's like an echo in my phone line when I make calls. And like I said, the the reset passcode thing, they came all at the same time on top of each other, which made me feel like someone was withholding my emails from me. And I was getting like pinched at the top of my head. You know, when my daughter called about the FAFSA, and I started to get attacked even more. I had already been getting attacked. Like, I was getting attacked even when my daughter, had come in my room to talk to me, I was getting attacked then, as well. I actually thought about calling 911 earlier yesterday. I had thought about it. Like, you know, should I call 911? But I didn't. And I had even did a podcast that I had already posted earlier about getting attacked. So I did a podcast earlier to document getting attacked. And then I still was getting attacked. But I was ignoring it because it was like what someone does to me, depending upon what it is, I often can ignore it. It's like I ignore it because I have no real choice but to ignore it. But the whole thing is, my point in saying all of this is that I feel like someone is trying to like dumb me down, hold me hostage, and like try to maybe. Like, I'm not Wendy Williams. How can I say that? I'm not Wendy Williams. I'm in my right mind. I'm coherent. I can talk complete sentences. I feel like you're trying to use the biotech potentially to, like, create some type of vegetation state by, like, constantly targeting me in my head. And then I feel like you're trying to hold me hostage so that you can have digital access to be able to rape me at will anytime you want. And then I also feel like you're trying to diminish my faculties so that you can somehow micromanage any proceeds, profit that I make that comes from the things that I've designed, written, my story, my truth. That's what it feels like. And that potentially you could be withholding things from me that I am entitled to. That's what it feels like. I remember one time I was out and the person could have been lying to me. I don't know. Someone walked up to me and told me that they ordered my smart stand up. And I was like, you did? I was like, you didn't order it from me. He's like, yes, we did. We went to your website. We ordered it. So that could have been someone fucking with my head. I don't know. That's what they told me. It was weird. And I said, really? You know, like, I felt a little weird because when they said it, I didn't know. After they kind of said it and then they kept going on about their day. But I said, had I been more braver, I should have said, did you get it in the mail? Like, what does it look like? You know? I should have, like, really asked them more questions than, you know, but they did. They told me that they ordered it, and then they kind of, like, went on about their way, and it was weird. And I felt a little, like, weird about that because I do have it available for sale. However, I haven't gotten any orders, and the whole thing is I have sold them before to people, but in person. So most, like all of my smart stand-ups that I've sold, which has been a lot, and that was like several years ago, it was in person. And when I say a lot, I'm talking about like I've sold under 100, okay? So a long time ago, like years ago, when I was test marketing my smart stand-up. I mean, it might not even be that many, but I know how many I sold because I designed an Access database to keep track of my sales. So it may have been, I never did the tally, but I sold quite a bit, but they were all in person. And I've given some away to people just, you know, like I gave my next door neighbor one. For her daughter, a Hello Kitty one, I think I gave her one time. And then I gave the girl, little girl that, well, she's not little, the 17-year-old that lives here. I gave her one. It was like a ghost smart stand-up that glows in the dark. So it's like the thing that it's covered with, it glows in the dark, and then you can put your phone in it. So I have given some away too. So I was just like, okay. But I was just like, what if people are cash apping me and they're like blocking my emails? Like, they're like, I'm not getting it. And what if people are reading my book and Amazon is like now lying to me or blocking it? It just doesn't, it's weird, because I'm like, what's the difference between January 6th and January 11th, where it seems like the flow of people reading my book starts to like escalate like each day, and then it just stops, you know? Like, I'm like, I feel like, you know, I just want President Biden to walk through my house. I want him to walk through my house, look at my roof, my ceiling, look at my bank account, then look at my CT scans that they're lying about that shows the biotech in my body. Just, it's not right. It's not right. And then someone keeps like trying to attack my head and then rape me all at the same time. It's just, it seems like I'm being held hostage, and it doesn't feel like I'm being held hostage. And I feel like anything that I'm, any proceeds, anything that I might actually be making, they're trying to find a way to keep me from getting it. And then they're trying to like make me look like incompetent or something so that they can like maybe keep it or manage it. Because I feel like even if I, it is especially because I have the biotech in my body. So that's, it's not even just if I made money that they just haven't given me or are withholding from me. It is also because I have the biotech in my body. Like, whoever is attacking me like this, they feel like I'm their property or something, like they own me or something. Like, I'm like, that's why I always say I'm not chattel. Like, I'm not chattel. You don't own me. I am not your property. And you should not be able to withhold anything that I'm entitled to from me. You've been withholding the truth about the biotech in my body, which could have easily have given me the restitution that will trump any of the things that I do afterwards, regardless if my book sells or not, regardless if people subscribe to my podcast or not. I mean, just the truth about the fact that this biotech was snuck in my body, and most importantly, the harm that it's caused me and the way that I was hurt and how it was used on me and how I was violated. That's where the punitive pain and suffering damages are. The biotech being stuck in my body is a crime all by itself. But the way that it was used on me and the pain and suffering that it's caused me is a whole nother escalation and return for damages as far as like what I would be entitled to. But you're even withholding that from me. And I, like I said, I try not to feel sorry for myself. I try to, like, you know, just do what I can do to the best of my ability within, you know, within my capabilities. And I've done, like, a really good job, I think. Like, I published a book. I have a podcast that's been running for years, and now you can subscribe to it. Some of these podcast sites, they have, like, Spotify tried to block, like, tricked me into taking off my listener support when I was re-upping my podcast. So like, I was like, I knew that I was going to start posting again because I was about to publish my manuscript, and I published my manuscript earlier than what I wanted to, because of something that happened, which I talk about in my podcast. And I listened to that, and that one is like a little scratchy. Like, it's like, I don't know. It has like some kind of dissonance in the background. But anywho, I explained why I published my manuscript early. But when I was re-upping, they told me, oh, you need to take off the listener support. Like, after I had posted my first two podcasts again, like, I already had the podcast site, but I wasn't posting. So I started reposting, And then as soon as I started reposting, it said, oh, why don't you add subscriber support to your podcast? And I felt like that would be a good idea. And I also felt like maybe they were soliciting me for the subscriber podcast, because the content that I was talking about, you know, was explicit and raw and could be associated with national security. But I feel like if it's associated with national security, this is how I feel about that. If it is associated with national security, then where is my six-figure paycheck for carrying this biotech around in my body for 6 years? I mean, for 9 years. Where's my six-figure paycheck so that I can have a nice kitchen, a nice bathroom, and be treated with respect and not being humiliated with poverty and living like this? Why me and my kids have struggled. Sometimes we didn't have water because they would shut us off for non-payment. Somebody, even when we was paying, somebody had did stuff to mess with the things, the pipes and resources in my house to make things hard for us. So I felt like, why does the government get to have their cake and eat it too at my expense? And they're basically telling me, eat cake like Marie Antoinette. Like, let them eat cake. Like, I feel like that's what they've done to me. Like, let you eat cake. You know, like, you did something to me that most Americans won't ever experience, have never experienced by using my body as an incubator for biotechnology that you are well aware is in my body, and you have not compensated me. So it's like you're doing the Marie Antoinette, like, let them eat cake. Like, you don't give a fuck about my living conditions, about my bills and my debts that have to be paid. And then you're trying to make me look ridiculous by humiliating me with poverty. You know what I mean? Like, that's humiliation. I got the biotech in my body and the way you're using it, and I'm not living in a way where I can save face a little bit for what's been done to me. You know, like, not be completely and utterly and totally humiliated. So I don't know. I hope that my emails aren't being blocked. I'm about to put on my podcast. If you see me on the street and you send me a donation, tell me, you know what? I sent you a donation on Cash App, you know, because like I was talking about Spotify and how they had me, you know, take off the listener support. They told me I had to take off the listener support to add the subscriber support, which I've said so many times on my podcast. But I also felt like I thought that it was a good suggestion because of the content that I was discussing. Maybe they wanted it to you to have to go an extra level to be able to listen to my truth, because my truth is true. Like, I'm not lying. So I felt like, okay, you know, so like this is for paid subscriber, but this is the whole thing about national security. My words, my truth about this biotech has shown up in so many films. So I feel like the rich and entitled and the privy, the people that have the money, have had access to my truth about this biotech for years, and the government seemed to not care. They've been doing writing movies and putting all these films out, a laundry list of films with my words, my actual words from my recordings, and also several concepts about this biotech and what it can do in my body. So they've had access, and they're living in mansions, you know, going on vacations, you know, having nice kitchens and nice bathrooms and living high on the hog, while they get to listen in on what I'm experiencing with this biotech in my body for 9 years, living in really deplorable circumstances. It just seems wrong. So I just feel like, why, like, let her and her kids eat cake. Let them eat cake. You know what I mean? Like, Marie Antoinette. So I'm like, why, if you could tell my truth and profit off of it, then why can't I tell my truth and profit off of it? Like, if you can make a blockbuster film like Oppenheimer with my perspective from my manuscript that you stole and used and adopted it for Oppenheimer, who didn't have biotech in his body and could never have had that perspective, it's impossible. He would not have referred to Vygotsky for his perspective. It wasn't in his body. It wasn't in his body. Vygotsky had everything to do with feeling, as far as the interpretations that I use to express and explain how this biotech felt. He wasn't using it that way. That was from my manuscript. But I'm always going to say that. I'm not even saying that he wasn't a genius. He's smarter than me. Let me tell you, he was a genius. But he was an evil genius, in my opinion. He used his knowledge and expertise to blow people to smithereens. He blew up a lot of people with his knowledge and expertise. So it's like he was an evil genius. And I think even at the end, I kind of do respect the end of the film. I respect it because I feel like the directors and the writers wanted to take a moment to acknowledge that. Just because how they celebrated him at the end for accomplishing that goal of using the atomic bomb to bomb Hiroshima, they say it different ways. But as he was standing up there at the podium and they were all applauding, he had like this moment of just deep thought and realization as to what his creation had done. And I felt like it was good to have that in there because he was an evil genius. You know what I mean? He was very smart and intelligent, but look what he used his intelligence to do. And some people say it was necessary. He ended the war. He saved more lives than he actually took by doing that. You know, I know what all the perspectives are on that whole issue, but just still, what he did, what it was used for, was not the same. It was the same type of energy used a completely different way. And his perspective that they tried to give him in Oppenheimer about how he developed this design and creation was my perspective. They stole it from me. They stole it from my manuscript. And I bet you he had a perspective, but it wasn't that. It wasn't Vygotsky. He was like naming names that were in my manuscript, were how I was explaining and expressing how I felt about the biotech in my body. They completely stole that from my manuscript. They stole it. They owe me fucking royalties. It was not his perspective. You know, y'all probably don't even know what his fucking perspective was. Y'all took my perspective and gave it to Oppenheimer. He could not have had that perspective. It was not in his body. He did not feel what I feel. It wasn't used as a language to communicate. He used it to split atoms, to blow up people. That's a completely different element and perspective that he did not, that all the things he was mumbling off was right out of my manuscript. I was just like, oh my God, Hollywood, y'all are making millions, stealing from people. And the thing is, like I said, I don't even know if you were stealing. I don't know if it was, some of it I felt like it was social activism. Some of it I felt like was showing me that you are well aware of what's happening here. I just do. And I've said that before because of who you used. The girl that committed suicide, Pew, she also is someone that has emulated different parts of my life. I said the girl, Anna, is her name Anna? The one that plays in The Handmaid's Tale. She has emulated several parts of my life with The Handmaid's Tale and Invisible Man. And now she's going to be some type of CIA agent or whatever. But Pew, is it Elizabeth Pew? I might be saying her first name wrong. Some of her movies have emulated different parts of my life. Like, Don't Worry, Darling, her name was Dr. Warren. And the whole content of Don't Worry, Darling was exactly what they did to me. Like, it was just they just did it in gestalt fashion. And at the end of the movie, you find out what her name is. She was a doctor, and she was Dr. Warren. And I was in a PhD program for psychology to be a doctor. And I feel like they gave her my last name on purpose. And the whole movie is about what a bunch of men did to me. So when they used Pew and Oppenheimer, even when they were having that sexual scene, and then in between there, he was like rattling off different things that I said in my manuscript. It was complete. Like, I felt like I wasn't sure if it seemed to me to be a mock, like, I don't know, kind of like letting me know that my life is about to lead to suicide, because you were like spewing off lines from my manuscript, like almost making it, trying to make it look like these are the thoughts that Oppenheimer had while she's fucking him. And and then she ends up killing herself at a certain point. It was very gestalt, very optical illusion as far as like visual. To me, it was more like you use the language. You use, instead of using like gestalt is visual sensory input. So I'm sorry. Yeah, gestalt is visual sensory input, which is optical illusion. I took that same concept and I applied that to filling, because it's that same concept can be used with filling as far as when you feel something, what is your interpretation of that feeling? And a lot of times, based on who you are, will determine that. So meaning a Marine soldier versus me, who might feel the same things, might have a different interpretation of it. Or a stockbroker who does BDSM, right? Did I say that right? And has the same feeling I have, that lives in a mansion that makes seven figures, you know, versus I did a recording about that, like privy. I called it privy. I had to find it. It was like 2 years ago and it was called privy. And I tried to explain how you could take gestalt, which is the visual sensory input, and apply that same theory to feeling. And then I tried to explain that depending upon who the person is, what their, you know, their cognitive development, their nurture versus nature, like their childhood, like Bandura, like how they were raised, where they were raised, where they live at now, you know, what their profession is, you know, what do they seek for pleasure and joy. All of those things will be a gestalt like variation of their interpretation of feeling, even if you're an athlete. So it's like you can take these different people with different backgrounds, and you can give them the same types of feelings, and even in the same type of environments, kind of like a placebo type thing. And depending upon their lifestyle, the way that they think, even their tolerance of pain, their interpretation of that feeling might be different, or their perspective, or how they move forward, it will be different. And so I was trying to show that's what gestalt theory, optical illusion is. And it kind of overlaps with Vygotsky, because he talks about, he used the example of pointing the finger, which again is like the origins of how language is formed. And he said if two people didn't know the same language, if they didn't know how to communicate with each other, you, by pointing the finger, and then I added my part that I contributed to what he was, because I try to take his concepts and apply layman explanation to it, meaning things that people easily understand. The five W's, that was never part of Vygotsky's explanation. He never put the five W's in there. But essentially, the way he explained it, to sum it up, as a paraphrasing, it was the five W's. It was what are you pointing at? Where are you pointing? When are you pointing? Who are you pointing at? And then your brain can start to interpret why. No, those are my words. Those are my words based on me being a reading teacher and teaching kids how to infer and how to predict. and using the 5 W's, applying the 5 W's to comprehend anything. So I took Vygotsky's long, boring, highly technical scientific theory and his examples he used, and I applied the 5 W's to them. But when you think about what Gestalt's example was, it wasn't Gestalt, but it still was, in my opinion, Gestalt, because you're basically looking at something that you don't quite understand, that you can't quite make out what it is or why you're feeling that way. It's like chaos. That's what Gestalt is, an innate need to create order out of chaos. So usually it's applied to visual, like when you see an optical illusion, it's chaos. Your mind, your eyes are trying to order it. And they have done this over the years where, depending upon who the person is, they will see two different things. They will interpret it two different ways. And there's been times where even if you try to, one person will try to show the other person what they see and they still can't see it. Sometimes you got to turn the picture sideways and that way. And it's amazing because it's like you have two people looking at the same thing and they both see something completely different. And sometimes when you try to communicate with that person or try to show them what you see, they can't see it. It takes them time to see it. And so I just felt like, I felt like that's what this biotech was as far as survival of the fucking fittest. Like, how was I going to survive it? Like, these feelings don't yet have a definition. You have some power and control. You can pull back the reins by redefining it, by choosing to see it a way that allows you to cope and move forward, that allows you to, because I'm like, it's not set in stone. These attacks, these things that someone's doing to me don't really, once again, they don't really have power without my response. What is my response going to be? And my response is compacted with so many things about who I am, about what I think about myself, about who I want to be and how I want the world to see me. And I have a choice how I want to respond. I know what the intent is. I know what someone may be intending on doing by the way that they're using it on me, but they don't have full power unless I respond. But that response is compacted with all, it's like recalibrating yourself so that you can do what's best for you in this moment, so you can get to the next moment. It was like my way of coping and surviving. But I was never saying that what was happening to me was right. I never thought it was right. It was just, I didn't have a choice to feel it. I didn't have a choice to feel it. And now that I felt it, what am I going to do about that? And the fact is, I couldn't even deny that feeling that type of pain wasn't affecting me in so many ways. It was affecting my emotions. It was affecting the way that I think. It was controlling everything. It's kind of like I said, being mocked by this biotech, by someone mocking me constantly and doing all these things to me. I always, like, now I'm starting to use the example, like, being black. Like, when people have disdain because you are black. Like, you know, like, that's something that I don't think people experience as much now as they did maybe in the 60s. But imagine just existing and people just don't like you because of the way you look. You know, like, that affects you when you know that it's like, it's not direct, meaning they're not physically hurting you, but it still affects you. So someone is able to physically affect me on a constant basis in almost everything I do, and sometimes in a harmful, painful, hurtful, mocking way. And even if I'm feeling good that day and I'm feeling good about the way I look, I'm feeling good about the sun that's out or outside, I'm just, you know, someone is able to let me know directly by using the biotech on me, and sometimes often a harmful way, how they feel about me. They're able to insert their opinion on me physically. So it's like I'm always being subjected to someone else's thoughts that they exercise in feeling by using it on my body. And then I have to make that decision is, do I want to adopt what this person just made me feel by targeting me this way? Or do I know better of who I am about myself and how I see myself? Am I going to force and choose to still feel good and still move forward despite what someone has done to me? And it makes it worse when it's not just the physical feeling, but it's the things that happen within your environment or the things that are said within your environment. So like yesterday, my daughter said some very positive things to me, but then she ended up saying some negative things to me. And at that point, when she said those negative things to me, I started to get physically hurt. So it was like I was faced with it through sight and hearing. And then someone used the biotech to double down on it. So that was a lot to take in. It was a lot to take in. And it was like I had to be strong. I had to be strong and recalibrate myself so that I can move forward. And we end up going to Chipotle. I kind of like sat in my room. I dropped a few little tears. It was very frustrating. I felt really defeated. But I felt like, you know, I was like, I could turn on the TV and pretend I didn't hear it. I could, you know, work on my computer and pretend I'm not hurt. Or I could just allow myself to be hurt and sit here and shed a few little tears, because it's very hard for me to cry sometimes, and let myself feel the pain that I'm feeling right now, even with someone hurting me, even with what my daughter said. And know that, and I knew that it wasn't true either. And so some people say, if it's not true, then why are you affected? It's not true. I know that it's not true, but sometimes you are affected because for me, the people that's closest to me and how they feel about me matters. It always has. And the fact that they aren't sure about my truth or can't see my truth is frustrating. It hurts. It hurts. It's very isolating. And I'm not going to pretend that it doesn't. I wish that I didn't care, but I do care. I actually do care. I wish that I didn't. I feel like I'd be much freer if I didn't care what they think, but I do. And regardless of how much I can try to pretend that I don't care and say that I don't care, I don't want to care, but I do care, because I care about them and I care about what they think because I care about them. Now, if I don't care about you and you don't matter to me, then I think it makes it a little bit easier. I kind of do care less what you think about me because I don't like you either. But these are people that I like, that I love, that I care about how they see me because I care about them. So I care about what they think. And it bothers me when they don't see my truth. And there's nothing that I can do about it. It is very frustrating. And it hurts. And I can't seem to get away from that. I can't run away from it. So I allow myself to hurt for a few minutes. And I was hoping, I'm like, you're not going to hurt forever. Just let yourself hurt. Just let yourself hurt. You know, I wanted to cry, and I was like, if I could just drop some tears right now, and you know, I'm not going to cry forever, but can I just get these tears out? And then I did. I dropped a few little tears, and then I was just like, okay, you know, it's not true. Yes, you're hurt. You can't do nothing about it. Okay, what's next? So I was like, okay, my daughter was like telling me before she left my room, if you go anywhere, make sure you take me with you. You know, because my daughter says how she feels about whatever she feels, and she doesn't really care what the impact is on the person. She's already moved on to the next thing. She's all on the phone with her sister, my daughter. And she's like, yeah, mom, if you go somewhere, let me know. I want to go with you. Not even really realizing that I was hurt. But I got over it, and we went to Chipotle. I mean, I kind of got over it. I still was like lingering in the pain, but I went to Chipotle. We went to Chipotle, and I kind of got over it a little bit. But we come back here, and I'm like ready to just sit down, eat my Chipotle. And my daughter calls and is like, Mom, we got to get the fast food done by this time. And I'm still getting pinched at my head. Like, that never stopped. I just was ignoring it. And I had did a podcast earlier that saying what was happening to me. So yeah, this is a long one. So I don't know. I just hope that I'm not being censored. I hope that that things aren't being withheld from me. I just hope that that's not the case. And then I actually got three. This is something else that happened. So, on my blog, I got 3 email notifications about comments. But then when I went into my blogger to check for the comments, it said I had 0 comments. But it sent me 3 emails back to back of notifications about comments. So that was another weird thing that happened, was that I got there were not just one, there were like 3 of them. And they were about comments on my blog. But then when I went to my blog, I had 0 comments. And I said, well, why would they keep sending me notifications about comments? Like, usually, even if I had to agree to receive comments, like, because that was the notification, they sent it 3 different times, which kind of told me that for them to send it 3 different times within less than a 24-hour period, that something must have been triggering that notification. But like I said, I had 0 comments. So make it make sense. I feel like if you want to block things from me, you know, I don't know what to say about that. I don't know what to say. But if people see me on the street, please, if you did read my manuscript, please tell me, because I will ask your name and find out where my royalties are. If you sent me, I said, you know, listeners and readers, if you want to send a holler with a dollar or your heart's desire, you know, thank you for your support, right? Send it here, you know. So if you ever sent me any money, please, if you see me on the street, say, I read, I listened, I supported you. I will ask you, I will create a database of all my contacts and find out where my money is at. just to make sure that things are not being withheld from me, you know, and maybe it isn't, I don't know. But I do know, simplifying things, that I got 3 FAFSA emails all at the same time after I called my daughter and told her that I reset my passcode and I didn't receive the email. And I checked 3 different devices and waited before I called her to tell her that I didn't receive my email. So that's telling to me. And then I got 3 comments or 3 comment notifications from my blog back to back over a 24-hour period. And then when I went to go check the comments, it said I didn't have any. And then my manuscript, when I published it between January 6th and January 11th, people were reading it in all these different countries, and then it suddenly stopped. So something's going on. Something is definitely going on. And then someone has been pinching me, targeting the top of my head. And I'm like, why is my head the target? Why are you keep punching and pinching and stabbing me at the top of my head? And then tried to start digitally raping me at 12 o'clock last night. And I decided to pull out my podcast and do a live one. So make it make sense. Something is not right in Denmark. And I didn't mean no disrespect against like Wendy Williams. I don't mean any disrespect towards you, but I'm just saying, you know, I use you as an example because when you say that, people know exactly what that means, because of the things that you've been through publicly. You know, how you went to the bank and you tried to get your money out and they basically said that you were incompetent and they wanted someone to manage your money for you. You know, like, you, that happened in national news. Like, that's public. So I'm not trying to disrespect you, but I feel like, you know, possibly that's what someone might be wanting to try to do to me. You know, I'm an automatic millionaire because I have the biotech in my body. And if I get a civil rights, a human rights, and a medical malpractice attorney to prove it, there is no statute of limitations for me, because I'm currently still being attacked by the biotech. Like, I'm getting attacked all the time. I call the police all the time. My statute of limitations hasn't even started because they haven't even discovered that it's in my body and it's still being, it's still active and being used on me in a malicious way. So I feel like the potentially the people that did this to me might be trying to also bank my truth, my story, bank any profits that could come from restitution for what was done to me by trying to make me incompetent. It just seems that way. By attacking me at the top of my head, you know, just doing things to try to like trip me up on purpose, by trying to digitally rape me, you know, trying to mess with me both physically and emotionally, withholding my emails. It just seems like they're trying to set the board up. And I'm like, no, I'm in my right mind. I can manage my own money. You need to send it to me. I got bills to pay. I want to move. And then I also feel like they're harvesting my body. Like, I have a podcast that I title Icebox. Like, I'm property. Like, and I shouldn't be, because I'm a U.S. citizen and we don't have chattel. Black people are not property anymore. But I feel like the people that snuck this biotech in my body think or see me not as human, but as property that they can manage, which is illegal. So, you know, withholding my truth, which is, and not telling the truth, not being forced to tell the truth, so that I can't get restitution, is also a way of trying to manage the situation that was done illegally to me, where I am entitled to truth, justice, and restitution under U.S. law. And then trying to, you know, like I said, physically trying to like, or physically or cognitively trying to handicap me, I feel like they're setting up the board. You know, that's what it feels like. They're setting up the board, and I'm putting it out on Front Street. I'm running the play, hoping that I'm wrong. I love to be wrong, because if I'm wrong, everyone is safe. If I'm wrong, then I'm going to be okay. I want to be wrong about this. I don't want to be right. So I put the plays out there just in case you were trying it.